So we now come to the heart of the Fatima message, the three secrets of Fatima, which are really but one secret revealed at one time on the 13th of July by Our Lady. As far as the three children were concerned, the 13th of July was the climax of the apparitions of Our Lady. As far as the people who were watching the apparitions were concerned, the 13th of October was the climax. But the heart of the Fatima message, the essence of the Fatima message, is given on the 13th of July with what is called the Great Secret. By that time, the children had seen Our Lady twice, on the 13th of May and the 13th of June. When Our Lady arrived on the 13th of July, Lucy asked her usual question, "What does your grace want of me?" Our Lady gave the normal answer, "Come here on the 13th of the next month and pray the rosary." Our Lady promised to work a miracle on the 13th of October so that everyone would believe. Then she asked the children to sacrifice themselves for sinners and to pray the following prayer when doing so. O Jesus, it is for love of you, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So this is the first of two prayers that Our Lady teaches the three children. Both of them she teaches on the 13th of July. This prayer is in order to make the Fatima intention. What I've been calling the Fatima intention, that is the double intention of reparation for sin and conversion of sinners. O Jesus, it is for love of you, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Of course, the other prayer that Our Lady taught to the three children on this day was the Decade Prayer, the prayer that we pray at the end of every decade, which we will come to in a minute. Immediately after teaching the children this prayer for reparation for sin and conversion of sinners, Our Lady showed the children a vision of hell. Here is Lucy's description of this vision. When Mary said these words, she opened her hands again. The reflection of light seemed to penetrate the earth, and we saw something like an ocean of fire. And submerged in this fire were demons and souls in human form, like transparent flames, black or bronze in color, fluctuating in the fire and taken by the flames that came out from within themselves, along with clouds of smoke falling on all sides, similar to the fall of ashes from vast fires, but weightless and unbalanced, amidst screams and lamentations of sorrow and desperation that horrified us and make us tremble with fear. The demons were distinguished by their horrible and repulsive forms, like horrendous animals, but transparent as red-hot charcoal. So then you have this incredible fact that Our Lady herself is showing a vision of hell to very young children, children who are 10, 9, and 7. And we have to remember several things when we realize that Our Lady is showing them this horrific vision. One thing is that the three children already knew that they were going to heaven. She'd already told them they were going to heaven. And so when they looked at this vision of hell, they didn't see it as a place which they might possibly go. Rather, they were awakened to the sympathy for many, many people who they knew were falling into there. But they didn't think of themselves as going to end up there. Secondly, the vision was extremely short. Lucy said that she thought that if the vision had lasted much longer, they would have died of fright. And then thirdly, this vision was a necessary prelude to their great devotion. Our Lady wanted to motivate the children to pray for the conversion of sinners and to have this great zeal to prevent sinners from falling into hell, to make up for sin. And this vision was certainly an enormous motivation for them. So after this vision of hell, Our Lady explained her reason for showing them the vision. You have seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. So this is where we put the pause button on Fatima, and we freeze that moment. And if we look at that moment, that is the heart of the Fatima message. This vision of hell that represents all these souls falling into hell because of sin, and the solution provided from heaven for rescuing them from hell, and that is devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. God has willed to give to our times, with its particular troubles, special efficacy to devotion to the Immaculate Heart. And this is a most appropriate solution for the troubles of our time, because our times are more prideful than any other times. Man has more power today to put himself in the place of God because he has so mastered material means. He can, as it were, create his own reality through technology, and so dominate matter that he can make himself almost like having a paradise here on earth, at least in the material sense, so that he is extremely puffed up with pride. And God's solution to this overweening pride of man is devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. God loves Our Lady so much because of her humility. She herself says this, that God regarded the humility of his handmaid. It's her humility that attracted him. Because pride is the root of all sin, if you want someone who's effective in defeating sin, you've got to find someone humble and lowly. So God loves the humble and the lowly, and he loves above all his creatures his own mother, and has chosen her to face off against the pride of Satan. And the last thing that Satan wants is to be defeated by someone like Our Lady. Satan would not mind so much being defeated by Almighty God, because God has all power, no problem. It's no embarrassment to Satan to be defeated by God, because he's Almighty. But if Satan is defeated by a lowly maiden from a remote village of Nazareth, totally unknown, then that is a horrible blow to Satan's pride. And this is what God has decided for our times, that men who are so prideful like Satan, that they do not want to be creatures, they're being asked to submit themselves to one of the least of themselves. They're being asked to submit themselves to an obscure woman who has been assigned by God to be the mother of the human race. Of course, she was obscure at one time. Now, everyone in the world knows who she is. But this is the fact that God is asking people, the people of the world, to have devotion to the Immaculate Heart. In other words, to go to her as her children, as her slaves. This choice by God, this revelation of the secret of Fatima, that God is asking devotion to the Immaculate Heart, it is a confirmation of a prediction made by St. Louis de Montfort in his book, True Devotion to Mary. This book was written maybe around 1712, so 200 years before Fatima. In that book, St. Louis says that as time goes on, Satan will become more and more desperate, knowing that his time will be short, in order to drag souls into hell. Because he will become more desperate, he will become much more active in his efforts to damn souls. As a consequence, there will have to be more activity on the part of heaven in order to stop him. And St. Louis says God is going to choose Our Lady to intervene more in human history. He's going to manifest more the power of Our Lady as time goes on. So as the power of Satan increases, so the power of Our Lady will increase. Till it gets to the point there's going to be a final face-off between Satan and Our Lady. So by the end of the world, she will be known by all, such that those who are on her side will go to eternal happiness, those who are against her will go to eternal unhappiness. This is what Our Lady is saying. You either have devotion to my Immaculate Heart and you will save your soul, or you do not. It's absolutely necessary to have this devotion. This is God's supernatural plan. He wants everyone to follow it. He wants all of us to accept as our mother the mother whom he chose for himself. He wants all of us to place ourselves in total dependence on the woman that he chose to depend totally upon, in the sense that he put himself in her womb. He allowed himself to be a tiny infant who was being cared for by her. He required her to nourish him. This is why St. Louis sees our Lord as being in a state of total dependence. And this is what God is asking of us in the Fatima message. If we are devoted to the Immaculate Heart, we will be saved. That's her promise. This is the means for our times that God wants for the salvation of souls. So the first secret is precisely this. First of all, there's a problem. Many souls are going to hell. Secondly, there's a solution. Devotion to the Immaculate Heart. This is the solution that will keep souls from going to hell. Our Lady also says, if the solution is applied, these things will happen. If the solution is not applied, these other things will happen. If people become devoted to the Immaculate Heart, she says, many souls will be saved. And there will be peace, and the war will end, if we honor her promises. What if her request is not heeded? Then she says, another war will begin in Pius XI's reign, announced by a strange light. The world will be punished by war, famine, and persecutions of the church. This is the framework of the first secret, and in fact, the framework of all of the secrets. First of all, there's a problem. Secondly, there's a solution. The problem here is souls going to hell. The solution is devotion to the Immaculate Heart. Then Our Lady says, what will happen if the solution is followed, and what will happen if the solution is not employed? So the first secret is about the salvation of souls through devotion to the Immaculate Heart, to prevent souls from going into hell. Not just our souls, but the souls of all mankind. Our Lady wanted to give the three children a desire to save souls. St. Louis says that God has assigned to Our Lady, as the mother of the human race, the task of filling up heaven, to fill the empty seats left by the fallen angels. So we know that a certain number of angels fell out of heaven by their sin. They were cast out of heaven. And God has given to Our Lady to fill up their empty seats. So Our Lady, as mother of the human race, is interested intensely in the salvation of souls, because God has given her that mission to save souls. So she realizes that God doesn't just want her to do it all herself, but she is meant to inspire others with this desire of saving souls. And so that's why she comes down from heaven. She inspires these three children with a desire to save souls by showing them a vision of hell. She tells them the great means by which they can save souls, and she asks them to be instruments in order to assist her in her work, this work of her motherhood. This work of giving life, not just temporal life, Natural mothers can give temporal life to their children. But Our Lady has the power to give eternal life. That's her motherhood. It's a more perfect motherhood. And she wants to gather as many people as possible into her army in order that they may assist her in this work. We all have work to do to assist Our Lady in her motherhood. She wants to save all souls. And so after giving the secret, she tells the three children to pray this prayer after each decade, saying, "Save us from the fires of hell, save us from the fires of hell, and lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy." So this prayer shows the desires of the Immaculate Heart. Our Lady wants all souls to go to heaven. We know it's not going to happen, but this is her ambition. This is her motherly ambition being conveyed to the three children, and which we now pray, we've now incorporated into our rosary because of the request of Our Lady. So she wants to make use of her children, her loving slaves, the souls consecrated to her, to help her accomplish the work of her motherhood. And this is effectively our role. If we have any love for Our Lady, if we share in any way her vision, her desires, the desires of her motherly heart, we will want to save souls. Many souls go to hell because there is no one to pray for them. So this is the first secret. Devotion to the Immaculate Heart is God's means for the salvation of men in our times. If this devotion is practiced, men will be saved. If not, they will be damned. Now, the second secret is not really different from the first secret. The second secret and the third secret, at least we speculate the third secret, just gives a greater precision to the alternative proposed in the first secret. First secret is heaven or hell, coming from devotion to the Immaculate Heart or not performing devotion to the Immaculate Heart. The second and the third secret tell us how we are to practice devotion to the Immaculate Heart. Let me just read the rest of the text, at least the rest of the text that we have, because we still don't have the third secret that was given to the three children. Our Lady said, "If what I say to you is done, many souls will be saved and there will be peace. The war is going to end. But if people do not cease offending God, a worse one will break out during the reign of Pius XI. When you see a night illumined by an unknown light, know that this is the great sign given you by God, that he is about to punish the world for its crime by means of war, famine, and persecutions of the Church and of the Holy Father." Thus far, the first secret. Then she gets into the second secret. "To prevent this, I shall come to ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart and the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays. If my requests are heeded," this is if the solution is applied, "Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, if the solution is not applied, she will spread her errors throughout the world, causing wars and persecutions of the Church. The good will be martyred, the Holy Father will have much to suffer, various nations will be annihilated." So, the second secret only gives a greater precision to the first secret. First secret, devotion to the Immaculate Heart. Second secret, how is that devotion to be practiced? Two things that Our Lady requests: consecration of Russia and the first Saturday devotion. If we do that, Russia will be converted, there will be peace. If not, Russia will spread her errors, causing wars and persecutions. The good will be martyred, the Pope will suffer, and various nations will be annihilated. The third secret, we don't know. We don't know. We can only speculate. We can only speculate. We just have the words, "In Portugal, the dogma of faith will be kept." And we know that the third secret will follow the same framework. If devotion to my Immaculate Heart is practiced, the devotion will be kept. If not, these other things will happen. We can only speculate. We can probably say that perhaps Our Lady was saying, if people pray the rosary, then these various good things will happen. My Immaculate Heart will triumph, and the church will be restored. If the people do not pray the rosary, or if people do not do something, then there will be a terrible crisis in the church. There will be a worldwide apostasy. There will be thousands of nuns and priests leaving the church. Catholic nations will lose the faith. We can only speculate that this would be the third secret, because that's what's happened. That's what's happened in the church. So, heaven recognizes that evil is organized and is of an incredible power in our time, but heaven is not indifferent. God does not leave us without solution, without means of counterattack. All we have to do is heed the request of Our Lady of Fatima, and evil will be defeated. And in the sacred secret, we see concrete ways in which God expects devotion to the Immaculate Heart to be practiced. Firstly, through the consecration of Russia. And there's so much talk about the consecration of Russia. People are so expectant for the consecration of Russia to be done. And of course, it's really important. But I hope one thing you take home from this mission is to understand that the consecration of Russia is not the totality of the message of Fatima. It's only a subset of the message of Fatima. It's one of the requests of Fatima. You cannot consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart. That's not your role. Your role is to perform these activities in order to defeat sin, to practice the devotion to the Immaculate Heart for the conversion of sinners and for reparation for the sins against the Immaculate Heart, to pray those prayers, to make your communion of reparation, to offer your prayers and sacrifices for those intentions. That's your role. So, in other words, Our Lady just doesn't want us to sit around and wait for the consecration of Russia to happen. That's not what she wants. When we do this, we get discouraged because everything seems hopeless. Over time, we get overwhelmed by the evil in the world, and we become convinced that evil is more powerful than God. I've seen this happen so many times with traditional Catholics who watch the news, and there's always bad news, and they're just saying to themselves, there's no way we can get out of this. And they lose hope. And they certainly don't have very much faith in their prayers and the efficacy of their prayers. So, on the contrary, we are meant to do our part for the triumph of the Immaculate Heart by our daily prayers and sacrifices. Regardless of what is going on in the world, we still have our personal duty, and so we still have our role to play in Our Lady's triumph in order to obtain the consecration of Russia, which will usher in that triumph. So, the consecration of Russia is an extraordinary request, a public act to be performed by the Pope in union with all the bishops of the world. And so an act that would be obvious to all. Everybody would know when that consecration would take place. It would be obvious that the Pope would be asking all the bishops to join him. They don't necessarily have to fly to Rome, okay? But the Pope would ask for all the bishops to join him in this act of consecration of Russia. Our Lady and God want this public act so everybody will see it as the cause of the transformation of the world. Once that act is performed, you would have this transformation of the world. Everybody would be able to easily associate the two events. So, the only time that a pope acts in union with all the bishops of the world is at a general council, an ecumenical council, like Vatican II, like Nicaea, you know, or Lateran or Trent or all the other councils, ecumenical councils of the church. And this is what Our Lady is asking. Our Lady is asking the Pope act in such a way outside of an ecumenical council in order to perform a public act in her honor. And somehow, in the mystery of divine providence, God has tied to this request the salvation of the world. He's put on this act, he's put so much weight on this act that has enormous consequences for the state of the world. We may ask why? Why would God do that? Why would God make that act to be so important? Well, in a letter from 1936, May the 18th, 1936, Sister Lucy said the following. She says, "A little while ago, I asked our Lord why he will not convert Russia unless His Holiness does this consecration. Because, our Lord said, I want my entire church to recognize this consecration as a triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, in order thereafter to extend and place devotion to her Immaculate Heart alongside that to my Sacred Heart." So we see that this condition of Our Lady in the first secret, you must practice devotion to the Immaculate Heart, is God's requirement for the salvation of the world. And the consecration of Russia is an aspect of that. This will be like devotion to the Immaculate Heart at a universal level of the church, and will show an obedience to the request of God and will draw down many, many blessings upon the human race. Let me just note in passing that it's almost impossible to be a saint of a contest and be devoted to the Fatima message. Because if you do not have a pope and you do not have bishops, well, then how can you consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart? How can a pope unite with the bishops to consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart if there is no pope? It's not possible. So what you sometimes find among saint of a contest is they try to water down the message of Fatima. Another request of Our Lady is the five first Saturdays devotion. It's a devotion of reparation for the offenses committed against Our Lady's Immaculate Heart, just as the nine first Fridays is for the reparation for the sins committed against Our Lord's Sacred Heart. And for that reason, we can sort of put in parallel those two apparitions, the apparitions of Our Lord at Pere Le Monial to St. Margaret Mary à la Coque, and the apparitions at Fatima, the apparitions of the Immaculate Heart. Both of them are devotions of reparation for sin. The one for sins against the Sacred Heart, the other sins against the Immaculate Heart. There are fewer First Saturdays, there's only five, but the First Saturday devotion is harder to fulfill. Our Lady asked for five First Saturdays in order to make up for five types of blasphemies committed against her. Five different blasphemies that are against Our Lady: blasphemies against her Immaculate Conception, blasphemies against her virginity, blasphemies against her maternity, blasphemies against her in general, and finally, blasphemies against her images, the destruction of her images. So each of the five first Saturdays, we make reparation for these five types of blasphemy. We are to perform all of the first Saturday exercises in a spirit of reparation, but especially our communion. You know that the communion of reparation is the main requirement for the first Friday devotion. So too for the first Saturday devotion. Reparation is one of the four intentions of prayer. You can read about the four intentions of prayer in your catechism: adoration, petition, thanksgiving, and reparation. So what these apparitions of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart are doing is really emphasizing for us the importance of that intention of prayer, the intention of reparation. So we offer our communion, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, to the Eternal Father in reparation for the crimes committed against his mother. And by doing so, we fulfill the request of heaven. Obviously, we can make communions of reparation on days other than the five first Saturdays. And that's why I recommend it to you that it's very good to say the prayer of the angel that starts with, Most Holy Trinity, I adore you profoundly. It's very good to say that prayer at your communion time. It's a prayer of reparation. It's a way to make your communion a communion of reparation, to offer our Lord present within you at that moment to the Most Holy Trinity. St. Louis, in his book, True Devotion to Mary, he speaks about Our Lady, how she's a good mother, and she'll teach us how to approach the communion rail, how to eat at this Eucharistic banquet, just as a mother teaches her children how to sit at table and eat their meal properly, you know, with proper manners. And this is what she's doing at Fatima. She's teaching us how to receive communion in the best way possible, to make these communions of reparation. What do you have to do in order to practice the First Saturday devotion? As I say, you have to make a communion of reparation. You have to make a five-decade rosary, say a five-decade rosary for the intention of reparation. You have to make a 15-minute meditation on a mystery of the rosary that's separate from the rosary itself. And then you have to go to confession within a week before or a week after the first Saturdays. Either a week after, a week before the first Saturday. All these things have to be done for the same intention, reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Now, I mentioned that we don't know the third secret, and we don't know what solution Our Lady requested in order to solve the problems of the world in the third secret. She probably gave some other specification, some other solution beyond the first Saturday devotion, the consecration of Russia. And as I say, we may speculate that perhaps it is the rosary. I mean, that would make sense. We know that Our Lady called herself Our Lady of the Rosary at Fatima, that at every single one of her apparitions, she asked for the daily recitation of the rosary. Here's what Sister Lucy says. Even though Sister Lucy never revealed the third secret, she knew she was supposed to give it to the ecclesiastical superiors, and that's what she did. So she never said the third secret, but she did say, Our Lady told my cousins, as well as myself, that God is giving two last remedies to the world. These are the Holy Rosary and devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. These are the two last remedies, which signify that there will be no others. Now, the reason why these two remedies needed to be communicated by a special apparition at this time is because of the special efforts of the devil in the 20th century, as I've already mentioned. Sister Lucy says, Our Lady told me that the devil is in the mood for engaging in a decisive battle against the Virgin. And a decisive battle is the final battle, where one side will be victorious and the other side will suffer defeat. Hence, from now on, we must choose sides. Either we are for God or we are for the devil. There is no other possibility. So the devil did not have as much power back then as he does now. In recent centuries, through especially Freemasonry, through communism, through Protestantism, it's seeming that he's summoned all of his forces throughout the world. He's organized them into a unified body, and he's thrown them with incredible force on the servants and institutions of God. And when the battle becomes fierce, and it seems like the army is going to lose, as it definitely seems today with the forces of good, it seems like they're suffering, they're fighting a hopelessly unwinnable battle. When that happens, it's necessary for the general to come out onto the battlefield in order to rally the troops. And that is what Our Lady did at Fatima. She is the general of God's army, established by him to face off against the devil. And so she came down at Fatima to encourage the good in their fight, but also to increase their firepower. She put in their hands an old weapon, but a weapon to which she has given a new efficacy. Because the fight is more difficult now than it has ever been, the rosary has to be capable of doing more things than it was capable of doing in the past. And we may believe that such is the case, that somehow the rosary is now more powerful than it has ever been before. Even Leo XIII knew this back in 1894. In one of his rosary encyclicals, because he wrote an encyclical every year on the rosary at the time of the month of the Holy Rosary, he said, "We take the opportunity of pointing out the particular ruling and designs of Providence which ordain that the rosary should have new power to instill confidence into the hearts of those who pray, and new influence to move the compassionate heart of our Mother to comfort and generously help us." Now, these words of Pope Leo seem to have been inspired because Sister Lucy was always saying the same thing. As I say, we don't know the third secret, but we can look at what Sister Lucy said, and she was a tireless promoter of the recitation of the rosary and attached to it incredible benefits. She said, "The Most Holy Virgin," this was in 1957, "The Most Holy Virgin in these last times in which we live has given a new efficacy to the recitation of the rosary to such an extent that there is no problem, no matter how difficult it is, whether temporal or above all spiritual, in the personal life of each one of us, of our families, of the families of the world, or of religious communities, or even of the life of peoples and nations, that cannot be solved by the rosary. There is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult it is, that we cannot resolve by the prayer of the Holy Rosary." One of the painful aspects of the life, of the very long life of Sister Lucy, was that she had to watch the message of Fatima being ignored on the one hand, and on the other hand, seeing the world and the church go down the tubes, going to ruin because the message was not being heeded as it should have. She always saw the events of the world in a supernatural light as a struggle between the devil and Our Lady. We have many letters that Sister Lucy wrote to three of her nephews who were priests. And these letters were written during the end of the 60s and the beginning of the 70s. In these letters, she repeats the same themes. "The major problem with the world," she says, "is the loss of prayer. People have stopped praying. The reason for the loss of prayer is that people are being tricked by the devil. It is," she said, "a diabolical disorientation." The phrase "diabolical disorientation" comes from Sister Lucy, and she used it to refer to people being tricked into not praying anymore. That's where the phrase comes from. Because Our Lady foresaw the loss of prayer, she insisted on praying the rosary. In other words, Sister Lucy is saying that Our Lady wanted to especially emphasize the praying of the rosary in our times because she knew that people would tend not to pray. Let me just quote some words of Sister Lucy relating to these three points to show you that this is indeed what she was saying in these letters. With regards to loss of prayer in the world, she said, "The decadence which exists in the world is without any doubt the consequence of the lack of the spirit of prayer. And it's a trick of the devil. Since the rosary is, after the Holy Eucharistic liturgy, the prayer most apt for preserving faith in souls, the devil has unchained his struggle against it." So there were certain Catholics and even priests who were saying that we should not recite the rosary because it's not liturgical. They were saying, well, the best prayer is the Mass. The best prayer is the Divine Office. These are part of the liturgy, but the Rosary is not part of the liturgy. So you don't need to say the Rosary. The Rosary is not really important. Sister Lucy's response was to call their campaign diabolical, in the sense that they were doing the service of the devil, whose great aim, of course, is to lead souls away from God by leading them away from prayer. Sister Lucy said in 1971, "It is sad that so many persons let themselves be dominated by the diabolical wave sweeping over the world, and that they are blinded to the point of being incapable of seeing. Their principal fault is that they have abandoned prayer. Thus, they have left God, and without God, they have nothing." Now, Sister Lucy herself would compose pamphlets in order to promote the Rosary, because she knew it was heaven's antidote to the diabolical disorientation. In a certain sense, the Rosary is a very simple prayer to pray. And even if we don't always say it with the focus that we should have, yet it is quite easy to say. It's quite approachable because of its repetition. So Sister Lucy would compose these pamphlets in order to promote the Rosary. And she said, "The little pamphlets will remain with souls as an echo of Our Lady's voice to remind them of the insistence with which she recommended the prayer of the Rosary to us so many times. It is because she already knew that there had to come these times during which the devil and his supporters would fight so much against this prayer to lead souls away from God. People must recite the Rosary every day. Our Lady repeated this in all her apparitions, as if to arm us in advance against these times of diabolical disorientation, so that we would not let ourselves be fooled by false doctrines, and that through prayer, the elevation of our soul to God would not be diminished." Now, I would make the claim that this message of Fatima, this secret of Fatima, with regards to the devotion to the Immaculate Heart, with regards to the importance of consecrating ourselves to the Immaculate Heart, dedicating ourselves to the Immaculate Heart, praying the Rosary, doing the Five First Saturdays devotion, is part of the spirituality of the Society of St. Pius X. You know that we've had many Rosary Crusades. I think we're on the 6th or the 7th Rosary Crusade, one of those two, these Rosary Crusades. I think perhaps the first one was in 2006. I'm not sure. So we're in the midst of a Rosary Crusade right now that ends on the Feast of the Immaculate Heart, the 22nd of August. But these Rosary Crusades have drawn down many blessings on the Society of St. Pius X. There was a period of time when it seemed like we were getting absolutely nowhere, at least at the level of Rome, with Rome loosening its grip, because for so long there was this Cold War where Rome would not allow any freedom to traditional practices. But slowly but surely, that grip has been loosening. And at least I would attribute it in part to these Rosary Crusades. The question of the lifting of the excommunications, so-called excommunications on the four bishops of the Society, the document of Benedict XVI, Summorum Pontificum, giving freedom to priests around the world to recite the traditional Mass, the question of Pope Francis giving us jurisdiction for confessions, and in that sense, saying to the world that we are normal Catholics. Because a big problem the Society has always had is that people can automatically stick a label on us. Just take the label schismatic, put it on our foreheads, and that's the end of the discussion. You don't even have to get into a discussion if you've got a word that prevents discussion. And so if they can stick the label schismatic on us, they've already gained a great victory, and they don't even have to get into a serious discussion. So we are almost getting to the point of a serious discussion when they can no longer say, well, our confessions are invalid, or our marriages are invalid, or whatever. We, of course, have always held that our confessions and marriages have been valid by supplied jurisdiction. But the fact is that people outside the society do not believe that. They think that they're invalid. But when the Pope is saying that they're valid, then they no longer have that argument. So this current Rosary Crusade is especially focused on answering the request of Our Lady of Fatima as closely as possible. We are asked to perform the five First Saturday devotions for the intentions of the Immaculate Heart, especially for the intentions of the conversion of sinners and reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart. And you can be assured that if you sort of have this intense desire to be an instrument of Our Lady, to answer the request of Fatima, to the degree that you spend yourself selflessly for her, you yourself will be rewarded greatly. How could Our Lady not bestow upon you and your families and your loved ones many blessings if you spend yourself on behalf of Our Lady's maternal interest? I hope that one of the things we take away from this mission is a desire to intensify our devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I mean, really, it comes down to this question: do we believe in the Fatima message or not? I mean, if we believe that these events actually happened and Our Lady actually said these things, then it's just simple. We just obey the request of Our Lady. We practice that devotion to the Immaculate Heart. We have also a great confidence in the devotion as the means established by God for the good of ourselves, for the good of our family, for the good of the church, for the good of the world. So let us try to draw closer to Our Lady in our consecration to her. Tomorrow, with our final conference, I will speak to you about people who did listen to the Fatima message before the Second Vatican Council, who tried to implement it, and the incredible fruits that came down upon them because of that.